This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. For 20 years now, something called the broken windows theory has guided some social policy and many city police departments. The theory holds that disorder in urban neighborhoods leads people to be disorderly. So if you crack down on minor offenses and fix up things like broken windows, you'll reduce crime. But it may not be so simple. New research shows that people's perceptions of disorder don't always match the actual disorder in their neighborhoods. NPR's Marcus Rosenbaum reports.
On the surface, the broken windows theory makes sense. And it does to many people who live or work in troubled neighborhoods, too. Take Reverend Douglas Summers.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Fine.
Good to see you.
He's the co-pastor of the Providence Baptist Church on Pennsylvania Avenue in Baltimore, a mostly African-American congregation in a mostly African-American neighborhood. Near the church, amid some signs the neighborhood is turning around, there's also trash blowing against a fence, and some of the older houses are boarded up, one right across the street. Crime and disorder?
I think they go hand in hand.
Reverend Summers' church has been in its current location for 24 years, and he knows how a neighborhood can decline and then start to turn around.
The disorderly breeds a sense of frustration, a sense of apathy, a sense of I don't care. Once that's turned around, I think that begins to move a community in the direction to say that we can at least decrease crime.
The connection between crime and disorder is high on Robert Sampson's agenda. He's a sociology professor at Harvard, and he and a colleague from the University of Michigan have studied it for years.
And what we found was that measurable, systematically observed disorder was moderately related to crime, but certainly not as high as one might think.
They found, however, there is a fairly strong relationship between crime and how much disorder people think there is. And that raised a question.
What is behind people's perceptions of disorder?
So working in Chicago, Sampson and his colleague interviewed more than 8,000 residents in many different neighborhoods. Then they set out to measure actual disorder in those same neighborhoods.
We tried, first of all, walking around in the streets with cameras, and that didn't work because people would approach us and ask us what we're doing and tell us to get the hell out of there.
So instead, they got an SUV.
And we drove very slowly, about 2 to 3 miles an hour down the street, and videotaped literally everything in public view on each side of the vehicle.
They did this on more than 10,000 city blocks. They had people in the car writing down things they saw, but more important, they later had trained observers actually count the disorder they observed on the videotapes.
Things such as whether there was loitering in public, open drinking, evidence of prostitution, selling drugs.
Social indicators. They also looked for physical problems.
Graffiti, garbage cigarette butts, abandoned cars, condoms in the street.
And they looked for physical decay. Deteriorated houses, burned out buildings, gates over the windows of commercial buildings, and so on. With that, they could put it all together, compare perceived disorder with observed disorder in different neighborhoods, and then, using census data, see who perceives what where. Not surprisingly, where there's disorder, people know it.
So we're not saying people are making things up. Not by a long shot.
But the key finding of their study, which is published in the latest issue of Social Psychology Quarterly, is that other factors seem to have an even stronger influence on perceptions. For one thing, whites generally perceive more disorder than minorities do, even when they live in the same neighborhood. Second, the makeup of the neighborhood itself affects people's perceptions. If you have two neighborhoods with the same actual level of disorder, residents will perceive more disorder in the neighborhood that has more blacks living there.
More surprising, perhaps, is that all groups are affected by this process. In other words, blacks are no less likely than whites to be influenced by the racial composition of the neighborhood in assessing disorder.
So it isn't standard bigotry that causes these perceptions or misperceptions, but rather what Sampson calls implicit bias, prejudice that's based on stereotypes. And he says it's a vicious circle. When things seem bad, people do things that make them worse.
So if people move out of the neighborhood, or if whites are more likely to disinvest in certain city neighborhoods, then they will be more likely to decline. So counteracting the perception that minority neighborhoods tend to equal, in the American mind, disorderly neighborhoods is crucial.
Back in Baltimore, standing outside the Providence Baptist Church on a rainy winter day, Reverend Summers grapples with the finding that people's perceptions of disorder are tied to a neighborhood's racial composition. Finally, he comes up with his own metaphor.
You know, we talk about broken windows. Every window can be cracked. see the things you need to see. I guess my question would be, how can we move beyond that? That's going to take an effort on everyone's part.
Reverend Summers and Professor Sampson would be likely to agree that you need to do something about the cracked windows that distort perceptions before you pick up the broken glass. Marcus Rosenbaum, NPR News.